So this is what we have covered. I want us to sort of review a little bit now then, there we go. The title of it is The Early Years of Jesus. And we look at the prophecy from Isaiah chapter 7. In verse 14, it says Jesus would be born of what? A virgin. Okay. And then it says he would be called. Actually, in this prophecy, it was not. Emmanuel. Okay. Which means, if I put this up here, you'd get another one. God with us. Okay. So if you look at Isaiah 7, verse 14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. And so this was prophesied long, long before, and it's some very detailed information that's given in this prophecy. If you go over a couple of chapters to Isaiah, chapter 9, and this one you may or may not remember. If you want to take a minute and turn over there, that's fine. It says, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called... Okay, Wonderful Counselor, yeah. And so his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, and then in each of these is a name that he is called. Okay, Mighty God. So he is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Okay, Eternal Father or Everlasting Father. Okay, and Prince of Peace. So these are all terms that are used to refer to Jesus. As most of you know, I have been going to a youth camp during the daytime this week and then coming to Vacation Bible School. And we have been studying today in the class that I had, and I've got a senior high school class with a couple other guys, and we're studying the name of Jesus and talked about probably 15 different names that are applied to Jesus in Scripture. And this is one of the passages that we looked at because Jesus has so many names. Why would somebody be called by that many different names? Okay, yeah, most of the terms that are used to refer to Jesus are not really names per se as much as they are descriptive terms. He is the Wonderful Counselor. He is Mighty God. He is the Eternal Father. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the door. He is the light. He is the living water. He is, and so each of these has something to do. His name will be called Emmanuel. That means God with us. When we talk about Jesus, really the only real name that he has that we use for him is Jesus. But very often we refer to him as Christ. What is that? It really is not a name. We use it as a name, like, you know, my name's Robert Fudge. His name is Jesus Christ. But really, Christ is not a name. What is it? It's a title. It's what it is. It is a title. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. If you look at it in Hebrew, he is the Messiah. If you look at it in Greek, he is the Christ. And this is the promised one that was going to deliver Israel. And so when we think about this, I think there's a lot of information that we could look at. What was the name of the angel that appeared to Mary? Gabriel. Okay. It's not a part of our lesson, but in Matthew chapter 1, we read that an angel appeared to Zacharias and said that he and Elizabeth would have a son. His name was to be called John. What was the name of the angel that appeared to Zacharias? Gabriel, yeah. Same angel appeared to both of them. What did Gabriel say would happen to Mary? Okay, she was going to be with a child. He said, and she said, well, how can that be? I've not known a man. And he said, it will be from the Holy Spirit. And so he explains to her what's going to happen. And she was to name her son what? Jesus. Okay. And so the angel said, you name Jesus. And I find that interesting because Gabriel, when he appeared to Zachariah, said, you name him John. And you remember the story how that when they asked Zacharias what John's name was going to be, and he couldn't speak, you know, and so he wrote it down, John. And they said, why? None of his relatives are named John. And he said, his name is John. And so when he said that, then he was able to speak again. When Joseph found out that Mary was going to have a child, what did he plan to do? Okay, he's going to put her away quietly, or some translations say secretly. And their custom, and Matt talked about this a good bit on the night that we studied this, but their custom really for marriage was completely different than our marriage ceremonies. First of all, in their marriage, it was pretty much the opposite of what ours is. In one sense, and that is, it was all about the groom and the bride was just there. And today, for the most part, it's just all about the bride and the groom just shows up. Because she's got to marry something, so she gets this guy to come stand there and marry. So it was the opposite. And it says that they were what? They were betrothed, yeah. And betrothed, a lot of times we call it engaged, but it really was more than engaged. They had an engagement, but then they had a betrothal, which was a step closer to being married, and it was like a genuine commitment that we're going to get married, and you pay this price, and then you start making your final plans, and then you get married. And so the betrothal was actually more than the engagement. It wasn't quite being married yet. And so Joseph found out then that Mary was fixing to have a baby, and something ain't going, you know, this ain't right. And so he says, you know, he says he was a good man and he didn't want to make a big issue out of it, or, you know, cause a big stink or anything. And so he was just going to put her away quietly and, you know, and just hush hush and be done with it. But what made him change his mind? Okay, the Lord spoke to him and told him that this child is from the Holy Spirit and is from God. And you are to go ahead and marry Mary. And he was told that the baby was to be named what? Jesus, yeah. The angel told both of them, you name the child Jesus. And so that's what he was named, is Jesus. And what does Jesus mean? Actually, it was not. I'm sorry. Let me back up. He was told to name the baby Emmanuel, I believe. Let me go back and let's look at it right quick. No. Yeah, in Matthew 1, verse 21 says Jesus. So he was to name the child Jesus, that's what I thought. It says that he will save his people from his sins. But then it says, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. So I must have been thinking Emmanuel, but it's actually, he was told to name the child Jesus, and then it quotes from the Isaiah 7:14 that we just looked at, that says his name is to be Emmanuel and means God with us. Okay, who required a census of the people? Okay, Caesar. Which Caesar? Augustus. Okay, Augustus Caesar. And it says that this was the first year of the reign of Quirinius, who was governor of Syria, that this took place. And so Caesar Augustus was, what was each family to do for this census? Okay, they're supposed to go to their hometown to be counted. Why would they do that? What would be the reason behind that? Okay, and it would be easier to verify the Jews if they went to their hometown because of their ancestries and their tribes and all of these other things. And Jews were big on genealogy anyway. And this would also be a way that they would know that they actually counted all of them and so on. And so they say, okay, you go to your family's hometown. And Joseph, where did this take them? Bethlehem, which is also called the city of David. Okay. And so Joseph is from the lineage of David, from King David. And so he's told, you go back to the city of David, to Bethlehem, and this is where you'll be counted. And so he and Mary go back to there. What happened while they were in Bethlehem? Okay, it came time and the baby was born in Bethlehem. And so they're a long way from home, and you remember there was no room in the inn. They were in a stable, and they put the baby in a manger, or which is a nice word for a feed trough, and they wrapped him up in swaddling cloths, which is a nice word for rags. Is what it was. And so, you know, when you see the nativity scenes and they've got everything so neat and pretty and a nice blanket and all that kind of stuff, that ain't the way it was. They used what they had and made do with it. Who appeared to the shepherds? Okay, an angel of the Lord. Okay, how many angels spoke to the shepherds? Just one. Yeah, it just says an angel of the Lord appeared and spoke to the shepherds. And so this angel then begins telling them this good news. And they said, the angel said, there's good news. The Messiah has been born. And where'd they say that they could find this baby? In Bethlehem. Okay. And specifically, they would find him in a stable, in a manger, wrapped in swaddling cloths. Did they find him, as was said? Yeah, they did. Okay, they did. So we have the shepherds keeping flock and or keeping watch over the flock, and they go. I read something that I thought was sort of interesting and about this is that between Bethlehem and Jerusalem was mostly pasture. And the shepherds that lived in the Jerusalem area used the northern part of that pasture, and the shepherds that lived in Bethlehem used the southern part of that pasture. And so it was lots of shepherds in that area between the cities of Jerusalem and Bethlehem. All right, so Jesus was born, the shepherds found him, and then it says that they took Jesus up to the temple and that he was circumcised. When was he circumcised? On the eighth day. Okay. Why was it on the eighth day? Okay, that was what the Jewish law said. The law of Moses specifically said that a male child was to be circumcised on the eighth day. And so they went up there and followed the law of Moses. And what did Joseph and Mary offer for the purification? And again, this is following the law of Moses. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it was either two pigeons or two turtle doves. It says they offered it according to the law, which says to offer either two turtle doves or two pigeons. But it doesn't specifically tell us which one they did. It was one or the other. But what does this say about them? We talked about this a little bit. They probably were poor, because what it actually said in the verse before that in the Old Testament law was to offer up a lamb. But if you could not afford a lamb, then offer up two turtle doves or two pigeons. So God made it possible for people that didn't have the lambs to offer, that they could offer up these birds. And so it tells us that probably they didn't have much. And so while they were in the temple, there was this guy named Simeon that came up to them. Who was Simeon? Okay, it was an old man who lived there in Jerusalem, and God had promised him what? Okay, that he was not going to die until he saw the Messiah. God promised him that the Messiah will come in your lifetime, and you will be able to see the Messiah. We've talked a lot over years at different times about how the Jewish people were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for the coming Christ. They were looking for this King of Jerusalem, this King of Israel to appear. And this is what they were all looking for, just diligently looking for. Can you imagine how Simeon must have felt when God revealed to him that you're going to actually get to see the Messiah? It's going to come during your lifetime and you're going to see him. And so I got a feeling that he was really elated about that, that God told him he was going to be able to do that. And what did he say was going to happen because of Jesus? There's actually a couple of things that we talked about. Okay, the consolation of Israel was going to be one. In other words, Israel was going to be satisfied with the coming of the Messiah, and satisfied in the sense that the prophecy was fulfilled. All right, what else? Yeah, they talk bad about him. Okay. All right, what else? Do what? Salvation would be available for who? For the Gentiles, yes, for the Gentiles. And we talked about this a little bit. You know, I got a feeling that Simeon didn't have a clue what he was talking about when he prophesied that. And I feel sure that the people that were there and heard that prophecy didn't understand it either. Because the Jewish people had a really hard time accepting the fact that the gospel was available to the Gentiles, even after it begun to be preached. And so it took a lot, and it took a lot of years for most of the Jewish people who became Christians to accept the fact that they could share the gospel with Gentiles. And so this was not an easy thing, but he prophesied that this was going to happen. He also prophesied that Mary would be like a sword sticking in her because of what was going to happen to him. Referring, I'm sure, to his death that she witnessed on the cross. Who was the woman prophetess? Anna. Okay. And so after Simeon gets through, and Simeon told God, he said, I'm ready to die now. The consolation of Israel has come, and you've given me what you promised, and I'm ready to die. And now, after he gets through, then this woman prophetess named Anna takes the baby Jesus, and she blesses him and praises him as well. And it tells us a little bit about them. It tells us that Simeon was a devout man, a righteous man. It tells us that Anna was a widow for many years. She's married for, if I remember right, seven or eight years that she was married, and then she was a widow for a long time after that. Who came from the east to see the Messiah? Okay, the wise men. I don't know if Matt, I wasn't in here last night. I helped Diane with the little kids last night, so I wasn't in here, so I don't know if he mentioned the distance or not that the wise men came from. You know, when it's interesting, because I Googled how long does it take to get from Jerusalem to Babylon, because I'm assuming it was somewhere in the area of Babylon. And it gave me the time by car. So it was pretty short. Actually, it's not real short. It's about 1,600 miles, I think, if I remember correctly. How long would it take to go 1,600 miles on a camel or a donkey or maybe even walking? What'd you say, Jim? A long time, yeah. The best I could figure from what I read, how long you could travel and all this kind of stuff, probably somewhere between 4 and 6 months. So these guys, they really wanted to go. I mean, this wasn't, you know, just jump in the car and run to town. This was, you know, pack up stuff and you're going to be gone. And so if it took them, you know, 6 months to get there, it took them another 6 months to get back. So this was a year-long trip.
Well, that tells us something about the age of Jesus. We talked last night about he was either between the age of 8 days and 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah, and probably pretty close to the two-year mark, I would guess. But I don't, because it's the two-year term is based on when they first saw the star. And so it would, you know, that would be.
Well, they didn't have wagons then, did
they? Yeah, they had wagons. Yeah. They had wagons in the Old Testament, remember?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. But, so these wise men came from the East. Why in the world, and I don't know, again, Matt may have covered this, but why in the world would these wise men, these magi, living 1,600 miles or 1,500 miles away from Jerusalem and Israel, even care about or even know anything about a Messiah coming to Israel? How would they even have a clue about what that was when they saw the star? Surely God must have told them what the star meant or something. Somehow it was revealed to them what that star meant. But how would they even know about a Messiah in Israel?
Well, they were magi. They had studied the stars and apparently had studied the old prophecies.
Why would those people over there be studying about Israel's prophecies? Okay. Okay. And I think that's probably right. Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think it was probably handed down from Daniel. And Daniel would have been greatly concerned about the coming Messiah. And he was over the wise men. And so it would have been handed down through him. Still, God would have probably had to told them that this star was for that purpose. I don't know how else they would have known, you know, this particular star. Yeah. Right, yeah. Yeah. And what inspired them to come? They saw the star. They came, they said, "We have seen his star in the East. We come to see the Messiah, the King of Israel, and we have seen his star in the East." Where did they go looking for this King of the Jews? Okay, they go to Jerusalem. Yeah. They go to Jerusalem. That's where Herod was. And they go to Jerusalem. And it seems, and I really actually, to be quite honest, I thought they went to Herod and specifically to start with. But after I went back and reread it, it says they went to Jerusalem. And then Herod heard about them being there and asking these questions. And it says Herod and the city was sort of in an uproar because these wise men had come in and they're asking about this King of Israel that's come. And so Herod got all upset about it because, you know, he wanted to be king. He didn't want somebody else coming along being king. And so Herod heard about these questions that they were asking about where is this king. So Herod began to inquire then, where would this baby be born and who told him where the baby would be born? No, not the wise men. The wise men are asking the question. Yeah, the Jewish leaders, the scribes, it says the scribes, if I remember correctly. So they said, the scribes said, the Old Testament prophet says that's going to be in Bethlehem of Judea. And so that's... Let's see. Gathered the chief priests and the scribes. This is Matthew 2, verse 4. Gathered together all the chief priests and scribes and began to inquire of them, Herod, this is Herod speaking, where the Christ was to be born. And they said, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it's been written by the prophets, you Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So it was the chief priest and the scribes. And so they were told, they told him that he was going to be born in Bethlehem, as we already mentioned. So how did they find Jesus? Okay, the star that they had seen in the east moved to where Jesus was, and it stopped over the house where Jesus was. Have you ever seen a star stop over a house? Okay. No. But I mean, just think about that. It wasn't just the star shining in the sky. You know, we see this a lot of times, you know, we see pictures of it and we'll see this big bright star up in the sky. And maybe it was way up in the sky when they saw it in the east. But now this star is located enough that it shines directly over this house, and the star seemed to be moving until they got to the house and it stopped at the house. And again, this is one of those things that the pictures oftentimes depict something that's totally untrue. A lot of times it'll show the wise men in the stable with the manger and Jesus, baby Jesus in the manger and so on. But it says that they were in a house at this point. And as Dwight pointed out a while ago, y'all talked about it last night, it's probably pretty close to 2 years that Jesus would, so he'd be pretty close to 2 years old probably by the time the wise men came to see. And he was in a house. Okay. What'd the angel tell the Magi to do? Don't go back and tell Herod. Herod had said, when you find him and you worship him, you come back and you tell me because I want to worship him too. And of course we know that wasn't why. So the angel told the Magi, don't go back and tell Herod. And why did the angel say that? Okay, because the angel knew that Herod wanted to kill the baby Jesus. So what did the angel tell Joseph to do? Okay, go to Egypt. Yeah. He said, get up and go. And how long did it take Joseph to get ready to go? He left that night. Yeah. So, I mean, he immediately got up and he goes back. He goes down to Egypt. And again, and we've looked at four or five of them without really talking about it being a prophecy as such. But again, this is a fulfillment of a prophecy. Because it says Jesus is going to come up out of Egypt. And I mean, you think about these prophecies. If you didn't understand what we know looking back with what we have revealed, here's these prophecies of Jesus, and he's going to be born in Bethlehem, he's going to come out of Egypt, and he's going to live in Nazareth. I mean, I can see somebody reading that and say, man, there ain't no way. How can all this go on? If he's born, yeah. Yeah, we don't know how long.
The next time we hear about it was when Jesus was 12 in the temple.
Yeah, we don't know how long it was. And there may be, a historical way of figuring it out because I think there are dates that you can actually pin down for when Quirinius was governor over Syria during the reign of Augustus Caesar. And you could figure out probably when Herod died. So you could probably pin it down pretty close as to when they came back out. That might not tell you the age of Jesus because we won't know exactly at what point, but you might get pretty close that way. But yeah, for some period of time he was in Egypt. And so the angel told him to go down there. And so what did Herod do? Yeah, he killed all the babies 2 years old and under. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. All the male children, yeah. All the baby boys, 2 years old and under. How long did Joseph and Mary stay in Egypt? Till Herod died, okay. And how'd they know when to leave? All right, the angel, the Lord told them, the angel told them, okay. So where'd they go live? In Nazareth, okay. And so again, fulfilling prophecy, they were afraid to go back to Bethlehem or in Judah or Judea because Herod's son was reigning. So they went up to Nazareth, back to where they were from originally. And it says this was to fulfill the prophecy that he would be called a Nazarene. Now, tonight's story, we ain't got much time, but Jesus was lost in the temple. And so our story tonight is Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. And I'm going to read that text. His parents used to go to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. When he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. And his parents were unaware of it, but supposed him to be in the caravan and went a day's journey, and they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. And it came about that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And he said to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the statement that he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and men. And so, as Dwight pointed out, this is the next time we read about Jesus after he's gone back to Nazareth to live. And now he's 12 years old. And they come from Nazareth down to Jerusalem. And so why did they go to Jerusalem? Okay, for the Passover. Jews were required by law to go down. Now, they went from Nazareth to Jerusalem to observe the Passover. And it says, how often did they go? Every year. Okay. What does this tell us about Mary and Joseph? We talked about this earlier with when they were the dedication at the temple and so on. They're devout. Okay. They were very devout people, really trying to please God and live for God. In this story, how old was Jesus? He's 12 years old. Okay. And I've heard people use this age to make all kinds of arguments about things today, and I don't know that it really proves anything other than Jesus was 12 years old when he went with them down there on this occasion. When did they find that Jesus was missing? Okay, they had stayed there for the week-long period of time that was required, it says. And then they started back home, and they traveled in caravans. Why would they travel in caravans? For safety reasons, yeah. And there's a lot of countries today that if you travel, you go in caravans. You don't go just one car by itself. Chances are you'll get robbed or killed or something else if you do that. So they traveled in caravans. And that night, when they got to the place, they stopped. They started looking for Jesus, and they couldn't find him. And so they went back to Jerusalem and started looking for him. Where'd they find him? In the temple. Okay, how long did they look for him in Jerusalem? 3 days. Probably the first place they looked is where they had stayed while they were there, would be my guess. That would be the logical place, wherever they had been staying while they were in Jerusalem. They probably went back to wherever that was and started looking for him there, and he wasn't there. And so, you know, it took them 3 days to finally get to the point that they go to the temple looking for him.
Took another day's journey to get back, and it took them a
Okay, that's possible. I've always taken it to mean that they looked for him for looked for him for 3 days when they got back.
It doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't. It says when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Came about after 3 days, they found him in the temple. So it could be like you're explaining it, just as easy as I always had it pictured the other way. But either way, yeah. Okay. Yeah, if you were a mom and daddy and you had a 12-year-old boy and he was missing for 3 days, it wouldn't matter whether it's 3 days one way or the other 3 days. Either way, it seemed like forever, and you would be extremely all upset about it. And
I think it would imply to know that your child is the born king.
Yeah, knowing that he was the born king, the Messiah, and now you've lost him, that probably didn't. And I got a feeling that at least Mary thought about that, even if the others didn't. Yeah, I've wondered the same thing.
We don't know that.
Yeah.
But he had to have something.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people lived in the temple area. You know, they had rooms and houses and stuff all around the temple area. So very likely he was just there with them and whoever.
And I can't refute that.
Yeah. and it being a Passover, it would have been a lot of visitors in town and stuff. And the Jewish people tended to take care of each other when they did. Okay, what was Jesus doing when they found him? He was with the scribes, and it says he was asking questions and answering questions. And so here he is with these, you know, the scholars of the day, and he's asking them questions and he's answering their questions. Did he really know what he was talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, he did. It says they were amazed that he knew what he was talking about. I mean, after all, we know he was God. So, yeah, he knew what he was talking about. But even from their perspective, they were amazed at how much he knew what he was talking about. So what do people think about Jesus? It said they marveled at him. Yeah, they marveled at him. Okay, what did Mary ask Jesus? Yeah, this is a very typical mother question. Why have you done this to us? And Jesus said what? Yeah. Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house, or I had to be about my Father's business? So he returned home with them and was blank to them. Subject or in subjection to them. And Mary kept these things in her heart. Or one translation says treasured these things in her heart. And there's another one we talked about the other night. Mary pondered these things in her heart. And this statement, as I mentioned the other night, is said several times that Mary really thought about all this stuff that's going on. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Okay, so he's a well-rounded young boy growing up. All right. Any questions? As Matt said, sometimes the timing's not easy.